Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan Dickman-Wilkes. I'm a coverage bank here at J.P. Morgan. Thanks for coming. We're delighted to have Hydro One at our second annual Energy Equity Conference. Hydro One was not here with us last year, but it's sort of a sign of where Hydro One, I think, is going in terms of being a company. We're delighted to have them here with us this year, as I said. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mayo Schmidt, the President and CEO of Hydro One. Mayo.
Well, thank you, and thank you, J.P. Morgan, for inviting us here today. I'm pleasure to present Hydro One to you. Hydro One is among one of the largest pure-play transmission businesses and distribution businesses in North America. And as you may know, we're based in Ontario with 40% of the population and actually a province that's larger than the country of France in terms of scale. The combined transmission and distribution businesses are about an $18 billion regulated rate base. Now, I'll just take you quickly through a few of the slides here. From an investment opportunity perspective, there's a number of attractive reasons which I'd like to expand upon. One is very stable and growing regulated cash flows and a strong investment-grade balance sheet, which together is, I think, a very attractive dividend payout ratio, which runs between 70% to 80% of net income. And, of course, with the coverage that we have in the province, we have the scale and leadership position in the most populated province in Canada. And we operate in a very consistent and stable rate-regulated environment. And I would say, finally, that the new board of directors, which, of course, has now been in place for about 2 years, is an entirely independent board of directors as we've transitioned from a crown corporation to a purely commercial organization. One of the key characteristics of Hydro One is that it's a 99% rate-regulated business that's concentrated in low-volatility transmission and distribution segments. And, of course, we have no exposure to the commodity itself or commodity prices, as it were. On a consolidated basis, there's $6.6 billion in annual revenue on a rate base that, as I mentioned, is about $18 billion. Now, the business mix is fairly simple and balanced between the transmission and distribution, which are both regulated by the same regulator, the Ontario Energy Board, or otherwise known as the OEB. Now, in addition, as you see this chart, which shows the opportunity set, is it's a fully independent board of directors that now are at at the board. Those were appointed prior to, just post the decision by the Crown to take it to a commercial organization. So it is a public company with all the shares currently in commons. We hold all of the rate-regulated assets, or 99%, in the overall business. Hydro One effectively is capitalized with the deemed equity capital of a 60% debt. Also, there's a 418 rate reset preferred shares that are outstanding, held by the government and that reside at the parent company. Now, as we think about changes as how we've moved forward as an organization, we're in the midst of a company-wide initiative to materially enhance the operating capabilities. With me today is Greg Kiraly, who's the Chief Operating Officer. I'll be pleased to take some questions with myself. We're also working very diligently moving from the Crown agency to a public company and dealing with our customer relationships, which as a Crown agency have not been of the level of performance that we would have expected. That's moving along very, very well with the new management team in place over the last year. We do measure some of our successes through the core elements, such as the customer-centric approach and also more effective capital deployment in the organization. Now, while over time we do look to potentially grow the beyond our core base, we're taking time to pull together an excellent set of leaders and to create the momentum to accelerate the opportunity base that we have. We've gone through a number of transactions where we're consolidating the space that you'll see on the next slide, where the transmission business is certainly one of the largest in North America at 99% of the grid, as illustrated here. The power is supplied to us by 116 generators, which in turn transmit across the province to nearly 50 separate local distribution companies. About 90 of those are industrial customers like Ford Motor Company, Goldcorp, Toyota, and Chrysler. The service territory, as I mentioned, is about 1.1 million square miles, larger than the country of France, and the transmission rate base alone is in excess of $10 billion. Now, we do see a substantial opportunity for the capital investment as we work to replenish the aged assets that are supporting the infrastructure in the province, and we believe is critical to a safe and reliable grid. Last year, we filed two-year cost-of-service applications, which will be in the transition into an incentive-based regulatory model, or IRM as it's called, in 2019. Now, our local distribution business is also the largest in Ontario. We serve over 1.3 million customers, along with 55 local distribution companies that we also supply. Since the year 2000, Hydro One has consolidated over 90 of those local distribution companies into Hydro One, based in Toronto. The distribution is a solid and growing business. We're seeing some rate-based expansion in that area and also accretive transactions of these additional LDCs, which we've bought. We've integrated three in this last year. Another one we've just acquired will be integrated shortly, along with the last transmission business that Hydro One did not own, which was acquired last year. And we've got one local distribution company transaction underway at this time. And earlier in this year, we also filed a five-year filing, which will transition the distribution business from a rate of return to an incentive-based regulatory framework that comes into effect in 2018. Now, I would mention our telecom business, which is, although small, certainly a very important part of our product mix. Operationally, we utilize the fiber and the connectivity to monitor and manage our extensive power grid network. And at Barrie, at the Grid Control Center, is the center hub for the power supply for the entire province, the financial district for Canada, and as well the provincial government. Within about $85 million in revenue, this is a small unregulated business, but it's an area of growth that adds shareholder value in utilizing existing assets that are core to our business, as those fiber optics lines run along our transmission lines, so they're all using the same foundational footprint. Now, the next chart lays out the magnitude and expected growth of Hydro One's rate base, the financial foundation of our business. It's an essential infrastructure area of service for the province, and 99% of the revenues benefit from full rate regulation. Our rate base has grown to $17.8 billion, which represents about an approximate 7% compound annual growth rate over the past 5 to 7 years. We've got substantial opportunities to continue growing the rate base through some planned capital expenditures on both the T and the D businesses. Our currently planned CapEx is over $10 billion of annual investments over at least the next 5 years. In addition to these expansion opportunities and acquisitions from efficiencies and productivity enhancements, the rate base growth will continue from the rejuvenation and expansion of the province's electrical grid, which is the core underpinning of our value proposition, we believe, as you look at the earnings and dividends growth going forward into the future. Now, beyond the primary focus of enhancing the performance of the existing core businesses, we're looking also to create value through organic growth. Over the past 17 years, we've consolidated over 90 local distribution companies and transmission utilities across Ontario. Last year, the two separate transactions, one being the Great Lakes Power Transmission on the shores of Lake Superior, was the last independently owned asset in the province of Ontario, and the one other local distribution, which was with 14,000 customers, where we'll also locate a backup control grid center, all of which will be in our rate base. Now, Ontario boasts one of the better frameworks in North America and is overseen by the Ontario Energy Board, and has proven to be a consistent and independent and transparent, predictable regulator. We're in the process of transitioning from a cost-of-service model, which will happen on the distribution side in 2018 and transmission in 2019, as I mentioned. Lastly, for 2017, both of our transmission and distribution segments operate at allowed ROE of 8.78%. If brought to market today, it would probably average closer to 9%. The strength and stability of our core regulated business is bolstered by a strong investment grade rating, as you note here, A-rated balance sheet, very solid with three agencies. We have actually one of the lowest borrowing costs of any utility in North America. In addition to this low borrowing cost, we also have a relatively long and smooth maturity curve, as well as a fairly conservative capitalization ratio. We also have over $1 billion of available liquidity via committed credit facilities and commercial paper. And importantly, our business model is also a capital structure is essentially self-funding and doesn't require any more capital to finance the planned growth that we have in front of the organization. As I mentioned, we run at a debt level of about 60% in a very, very strong financial position. And since the IPO last year, the province of Ontario has divested their major stake of minority stake. They've now achieved their sell-down goal. They're full and final on their sale. They're below 50%. We have a governance agreement where they're a shareholder and not a manager of the business. And, of course, the board of directors is fully independent. Last quarter was the first anniversary of the first dividend payment. We've increased that quarterly dividend by 5%. And this is, of course, consistent with our target dividend ratio of 70 to 80% of net earnings. We also, at the IPO, announced the formation of a dividend reinvestment program, or a DRIP. The non-dilutive plan allows, of course, automatic reinvestment. Now, as we look at the next chart, our company's been focused on delivering sustainable energy through an environmentally conscientious practice. Ontario is one of the first jurisdictions to fully eliminate coal generation and provide clean electricity. So we not only deliver this clean electricity, we make sure the way we deliver it is, of course, sustainable. We're one of four companies that received the Sustainable Energy Company designation by the CEA, and we're also recently awarded the 2016 Best Corporate Citizen based on 12 sustainability metrics. Now, I'll just conclude there with saying Hydro One, we believe, represents a very unique opportunity to participate in the transformation of a premium large-scale electric utility as we transition with a new leadership team from a crown agency to an independently governed, performance-focused organization that intends to grow the value for our customers and shareholders alike. So with that, Greg Crawley, Chief Operating Officer, and myself would be happy to take any questions you might have. I think we have about 20 minutes.
Thank you. I was wondering, when we look at your main regulatory construct in Ontario, how much capital of your total capital spend every year is able to be recovered on a contemporaneous basis or flows through some kind of rider mechanism there? And then a follow-up question just on the metrics that you provide to Wall Street. Do you have a dividend growth set of guidance, payout ratio, earnings per share, et cetera?
Sure. So being 99% regulated, other than the fiber optics business, our entire cost basis, there may be a couple exemptions for incentive programs for employees on compensation, but the balance of the base flows through. We're allowed 300 basis points above or below. If on the 300 basis points that we over-earn, then the OEB would come back to us and have a discussion about how we would split that. If it's 300 basis points less, which could be storm-related activity, could be extensive, we can go back to the regulator and reset to get that capital back. So fundamentally, all of that will flow through to ultimately be paid a full rate on the regulated rate base. On the dividend program, we've committed to a 70 to 80%. Our compensatory structure, as well as the commitment by the leadership team and the board, is to pay 70 to 80% of our net income annually to shareholders. We've recently, as I mentioned, increased our dividend by 5%. The board will, of course, will regularly discuss the potential for an increase in that in that rising dividend over the course of time. But within the first year, we've already increased that dividend. Any other background I can fill you in on Hydro One as we?
Interested in the cultural transition and more color on the details of what it means. I'm interested in the cultural transition because it's got to be a huge change. And you know, what you're doing, how that's going, what you're up against,
sure,
what you're trying to achieve. And also if you could give a little more color on the shift from the, I'm using the wrong terms, but cost plus to incentive.
Sure, sure. Why don't I do that, and I'll ask Greg to jump in too, because the bulk of the operational business would be in Greg's shop as well. You know, it is interesting. I think what I have found coming from outside into the business 2 years ago, highly motivated, engaged workforce, and it's a workforce that is a generational workforce. So not only the individuals are there, their father was there, their grandfather was there. So there's a lot of inherent pride. Secondly, is because the team is often tasked in Ontario and the size of the province with storm recovery, you'd never see a more motivated, highly competent individuals that have to go out during storm recovery and deal with all sorts of, you know, catastrophic events related to that storm. And they look at it like mounting up for storm recovery. I mean, the sense of pride is enormous. Having said that, there was also a leadership team that, of course, would have been faced with, as a Crown agency, with pay freezes for 7 years, constraints on ability to communicate with the public, all the things that go against the opportunity to have a highly functioning leadership team that's motivated to do the kind of things. And you know what happens is your better people leave. So what we've really done is we've gone in, and the leadership team, other than one individual at the senior team, is all new to the organization. But having said that, in my discussions with the board of directors, said that it would be my intention is to create a team that could perform at a high level for operational excellence, and then look for opportunities to grow both within the province and outside of the province over time. So we really did go to individuals like Greg, who's got over 30 years experience with PG&E and Con Ed, which he can talk about. The head of our strategy group came out of Duke Energy. The fellow that's running our customer business, our government relations, our First Nations, which are incredibly important because we're on 122 First Nations communities on their territory, was president of WestJet Airlines. So what better service than you can get, and also safety conscious. So it was really about building that team, which we completed in 2016. So as I committed to shareholders starting in 2015, get the IPO done. It was the fourth largest IPO in Canadian history. Do a good job of that. Secondly, 2016, we need to build the strength and muscle in the organization, which is the new leadership team, which is now all in place, save one role that's yet to be completed. And then 2017 was a transformation year, the year we would transform the organization, both operationally on the innovation side, which we're working on also, and then also looking for unique opportunities to roll up local distribution businesses. There's reported by an outside third party to be about $1.7 billion in savings synergies associated with the consolidation of the local distribution companies yet to complete in the province, of which we've got three we've integrated just this year, one distribution, one transmission underway, and then one more transaction that's pending. So, Greg, do you want to comment maybe on operations around them?
Well, as Mayo said, having spent 30 years in the U.S. utility industry, I wasn't sure what to expect in moving to an organization that was a Crown corporation, government-run for the last 100 years. But quite frankly, to my surprise, you had a great talent base of people, lots of good engineering and construction talent, people who are steeped in operations. Did we need to make some changes? Absolutely. So not only has Mayo created a new senior executive leadership team, but we've changed largely our teams out. And once we've got those new leaders in place, and a lot of those were internal promotions. We have asked some people externally to join the organization, and they have. Once we've done that, the organization is rising to the occasion. So we're benchmarking all our operational metrics. We've got a solid safety performance. We've got solid transmission reliability. We're not so good on the distribution reliability. That's certainly a function of our system design. We serve very rural parts of Ontario, and we don't have a lot of redundant reliability on terms of our electric distribution system. So there's only so good we're going to get in that regard, but we're going to certainly be focused on that reliability. Got to make some improvements in our cost position, et cetera, but we've got a motivated team, got a governance model in place. We've got scorecards. We're building a performance-driven culture. Have we run into some bureaucracy after those 100 years of a government-run organization? Yes, we have, and we're cleaning that up, and people are accepting those changes moving forward. So as Mayo said, I think we've got a really a motivated organization of talented people who want to do the right thing, needed some strong leadership in place, and I think we're ready to go.
Yeah, just as you get prepared for another question, to add a little bit of color to that from a metric point of view, over the last 24 months through this transition and then the new leadership team, we've actually achieved the record in safety, so the best safety record the company's ever achieved. And as well, quite frankly, when we talked about over-earning 300 basis points, where this organization, as I go back and looked at the history 4 or 5 years ago, had a rate base approval by the Ontario Energy Board and might have left $200 to $300 million in unspent capital along the sidelines. And, you know, and I think about that saying it was necessary because we have a system in decline, which is why we're, of course, growing the rate base. And in this last year, Greg's team was charged on the transmission side alone with coming in on at $940 million on their CapEx plan on executing on construction, repair, maintenance. And on that $941 million, they came in at $941 million. So execution has gone up substantially in the organization, and that's what's expected. And we put a new compensatory program in. So where in the past, under the Crown agency, there was an allocation of capital. They allocated dollars, and of those dollars, they typically, on average, spent 70%, and they just dispersed it to the teams. And we put in threshold levels now with stretch objectives, so people can either get zero, or they can get target, or they can earn a multiplier, as within the performance of every other publicly traded company. We're aligned with those metrics and approved by the board of directors. So performance is increasing rapidly, and Greg's got any number of areas underway, both in the transmission, the distribution, and also the forestry division. But to give you an idea how expansive the system is, and we talk about larger than the country of France, but I think that when you think about our forestry group, it takes 9.5 years to make one complete cycle of the transmission lines that we have in the province. So any employee that's a 30-year employee might see the system 3 times. So it's an incredibly large system, over 150,000 kilometers of transmission lines. And to support nuclear power plants, the gas plants, and there's 116 generators in the province. And on the renewable side, there's over 900 purchase price agreements for renewables and no coal. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of color to think about the organization.
But making lots of improvements to that vegetation management practice, too. Since tree-related outages are 40% of our outages, U.S. utilities, that's a much less number. And so that's where we're headed, to make significant improvements there.
Yeah, hi. I asked Greg this before, but just keen to hear your thoughts, Mayo. Why you think the strategy, given how early in your journey you are from public to private, why the strategy of pursuing M&A, especially in the U.S., is a good idea?
Yeah, so let me put it in context, and this is going to give you an insight into my conversation, even with the board of directors in our strategy planning session. You know, job one is exactly as Greg has illustrated, is operational excellence within the operations that exist today, getting the performance up, because we really see the rate base growth, which is going to grow from 1.6 to about 2.2 billion over the course of the next 5 years, is job one. Secondly, we see innovation, making sure that we're in a good position, because we do have such a strong concentration of 98% of market share, that on the behind-the-meter opportunities that occur on innovation side, that we're leading that. And I think the third tier is not ignoring, but actually looking at the opportunities that might exist, and we do believe probably exist, in Canada and the U.S. We're pursuing a consolidation of the industry in Ontario, but we also believe that beyond that there's opportunities. And we look at our A-rated debt base, the size of $24 billion enterprise value, and our ability to purchase and lower cost. We look at the potential for interest deductibility issues that may occur in the U.S. We look at any number of those metrics, the space that exists between leverage in the U.S. of 50 versus the 60% we can carry in Canada. So there's quite a number of metrics that make it look favorable. But I would say the thing that I would, and I've said to every shareholder, because we get the point that in a rate-regulated business and the stability of earnings that we want to maintain, that it's important that we're really disciplined about how we pursue any opportunities, even at home. But any opportunity we see at home or beyond our borders need to be accretive on every measure in the first 12 months of operation. So that's the discipline that we bring. And frankly, my last career opportunity in the 24 acquisitions we did, that's what we achieved in those acquisitions. And I expect the same, or we'll focus on home and innovation because we can do that as well in growing our rate base. So we have those options and those levers. But we also don't want to stand on the sidelines if opportunities come up that would be accretive for growth for the company. Thanks for the question, by the way.
I think I asked this before, but I'm still curious. What were you referring to when you're talking about a change in the in the incentive system, from I forget the terms you use, but I think of it as cost plus to incentive.
Yeah.
What does that mean? If you could just explain
the incentives in terms of compensation for employees,
for the company.
Oh, the company. You're talking about the performance based. I'm sorry. I was on my last point. So historically, the company has been under a cost of service. So simply put, there was no performance model built. Now we have the opportunity to earn on a performance base. So what the regulator has said is, I'm going to, over this period of time, the 5 years, I'm going to reduce your opportunity for capital by 0.6% to motivate you to become more efficient. However, if you earn a 2% increase, then you get to keep that. So we can actually over-earn, and the regulator is okay with us to keep it. And what they've also done on these local distribution company acquisitions, where it used to be that the company was able to keep 5 years of synergies, now that period of time has gone out to 10 years. So they're actually working to motivate the opportunity for us to be able to participate and motivate us to the savings, because we actually took that to the regulator and said, we want to see the system motivate continual improvement, not just simply we need to spend money, does it go into the rate base, so therefore it's okay. We think it actually is important that we show and are rewarded as an organization. Our shareholders are rewarded for a management team that can take our cost down. So what we've done, and we've taken the cost down in the last year by tens of millions of dollars, and we've actually applied that over to the rate base so that we get the ROE on top of that, as opposed to having it just simply go into the system and is lost to our shareholders and to the system because the system is on decline. So the performance base is going to be very important for us going forward to demonstrate we can earn that extra capital. And so far, we're over-earning on that. So I think we have about a few more minutes if there's a last question or two. Or we won't make you late for your next meeting. Well, thank you for joining us today. Hydro One appreciates it. And again, thank you to J.P. Morgan for hosting us. And we're glad to be here for our first opportunity. Look forward to next year. Thank you all for coming. Thanks.